Hello and welcome to the Crystal River Church of God podcast, where you will find focus for living.
We're going to be reading in 2 Timothy this morning, chapter 2. I'm going to start reading in verse 19. I'm not going to wait for everybody to get there because I don't have time, so I'm just going to start to read, all right? Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having the seal. The Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. If God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you this morning for what we've seen already. I pray, Father, that you would enable me to get through every point in about 9 minutes, and I give you praise and glory for that in Jesus' name. Amen. So, the Message Bible is the next version. The Message Bible isn't really a version of the Bible. It's a paraphrase, but I like how these verses are written in there, so I'm going to read from the Message Bible for the next moment. Just verses 20 and 21. It says, in a well-furnished kitchen, there are not only crystal goblets and silver platters, but waste cans and compost buckets. Some containers used to serve fine meals, others to take out the garbage. Become the kind of container God can use to present any and every kind of gift to his guests for the blessing. So when I read this scripture, especially in the New King James Version, it actually alliterates and tells us that we can change. That it doesn't matter what kind of vessel you are and what kind of stuff you're holding right now, you do indeed have the opportunity to change what kind of vessel you are. If you're a vessel full of garbage and strife and negativity, you can change that and become a vessel full of faith, hope, and love, right? It can happen. You can change. Gary Chapman wrote a book, The Five Love Languages, and my wife and I do a lot of marriage seminars and things of that nature, and we use some of his concepts sometimes. As a matter of fact, we taught a marriage conference all day in South Central Florida yesterday. But in The Five Love Languages, Gary Chapman talks about something called a love tank, so that everybody has a tank within them that's made to hold whatever type of love language they are, right? So they may be feel loved by getting gifts, or they may feel loved by physical touch, right? However you feel loved, when you receive it that way, it fills up your love tank. Well, what if all the scriptures that we're talking about today, like one example would be John chapter 7, that it talks about us being a vessel for God, that we are a vessel. The scripture I read this morning talks about us being a vessel. Vessels hold things. That's what they do, right? If you have a pitcher in your house, right, like, and sometimes that pitcher may hold sweet tea, and sometimes that pitcher may hold water, sometimes that pitcher may hold juice, right? But whatever the case, that pitcher is designed to hold things, right? And if you have a pitcher that's not holding anything, if it has a leak in it or a crack in it, or if it's filthy, dirty, and mildewy, then that pitcher is not doing its job, right? Then you have to either replace that pitcher, or you have to what? You have to clean it, right? So you have to clean your pitcher. So just like a pitcher that's in your house, you as a vessel, sometimes you get filthy, right? Sometimes you get dirty. Sometimes you got stuff in you that's not of God. Sometimes you're carrying around things that God didn't ordain for you to carry around. Sometimes you're full of negativity, and sometimes you're full of stuff that you got to get rid of, right? So it's important that we constantly look at the content of our vessel, right? You constantly got to look at the content of what's in you. Now, this is a metaphor in Scripture, right? But I believe in the spiritual realm, it's absolutely what you would see. That if you could look at a spirit or a soul in the spiritual realm, I believe that soul would contain the look of whatever is inside of it. And I think if we could look in the spirit realm and see a soul, we could see a soul that was sick, We could see a soul that was toxic, or we could see a soul that was holy and washed clean. I believe that we could see the difference. So if we could see it in the spiritual realm, it doesn't mean that it doesn't exist in the physical realm, right? So sometimes we need to take inventory of what it looks like inside of us and decide right then and there, do we need to clean this junk out, right? Or am I okay? Am I doing all right? Hey, am I mostly clean, but I just got this one little spot over here? Am I mostly okay, but I just got a little bit of mildew over here under the handle, right? Maybe I'm okay, right, but there's a little bit of black mold in the bottom. Is that going to be okay to serve somebody a drink out of? No, right? And God, as Christians, God wants us to be clean before we serve somebody a drink of his water. Right? Now, does that mean God can't use an imperfect person? Absolutely not, man, because I'm up here preaching today, right? It doesn't matter if you're imperfect. It doesn't matter if you've screwed up, if you've messed up. What matters is that you constantly go before the Lord and you ask the Lord, search me, like David always did. David was known as a man whose heart chased after God, right? But David sinned more than most in the Bible. We see David as a murderer and as an adulterer and all kinds of things, and yet the Bible says that his heart was after God. It's because he wrote that scripture, Lord, search me, and if there be any wicked way in me, cleanse me. Right? It doesn't matter how bad of a sinner you were, what you did, where you come from. All that matters is that you come before God and you ask, search me, God. Find me. If there be any wicked way in me, cleanse me. That's all you have to do this morning. And I'm telling you that God is faithful to cleanse you if you just ask for it. But the problem is that most people won't ask. Most people will walk around dirty and filthy thinking they're okay because they never took inventory. They never looked inside the vessel, right? They washed on the outside. They didn't wash on the inside. They took a shower. They put on some Right Guard and they put on some Polo and they think they smell pretty good, but on the inside they're rotten and stinky and smelly, right? It doesn't matter what you did this morning in the shower. It doesn't matter what you did to clean yourself. It doesn't matter what was on your toothbrush. What matters is what's going on the inside. How does your heart look today? Amen. So what I'm talking about this morning is a matter of the heart. It's a matter of your vessel getting clean. Amen. So physically, how many of you know our body is not designed to keep everything you take in? Right? Praise God, I wish my body didn't kept less of what I took in, right? I wish I could stay thinner, right? My future son-in-law, man, he eats like a pizza and a half, and it never shows on him, right? I eat a pizza and a half, I'm waddling and can't fit in my clothes for like 3 days, man, right? So I wish I didn't keep everything that I take in. But the truth is, the body can't keep everything that it takes in. When you eat and drink something, the body takes the nutrients, the body takes the fat, the body takes the protein, the body stores that, and then what happens to the rest of it? Yeah, ain't nobody scared to say it, aren't you? You expel it, right? So the body expels toxins in different ways, right? One of the ways is through sweat. One of the ways is through tears. One of the ways is through going to the bathroom. Right? It's through urine, for an example of what I'm going to talk about today. Right? So the body doesn't keep everything that it has inside. And I'm going to skip that last one. You guys were waiting on me to say it, weren't you? I'm not going to say it this morning. But what happens when the body isn't expelling everything that it's supposed to expel, what happens to you? You get sick. Right? You can go into the hospital and the doctors are not alarmed that there's toxins in your system. Right? The doctors are like, yeah, you ate a pizza last night. Yeah, you got some toxins in your system. Yeah, you drank a Diet Coke before you walked in here. You got some toxins in your system. Doctors are never alarmed that there's toxins in your system. You know when they're alarmed? When you're not releasing the toxins. When the toxins aren't coming out is when the doctors are alarmed, right? When the toxins aren't flowing, the doctors are alarmed. They usually, if you go in for surgery, the doctors won't even let you leave until you go to the bathroom, right? Because they want to make sure that your body is working properly and you're expelling toxins as they come out. There's a Greek word called katharos, and it's the root word for catheter. How many nurses do I have in here, right? And I'm sure putting in catheters is your favorite job, but a catheter is something that has to happen. It's got to be done, and a catheter is designed to cleanse and purify the body, to release the urine, to release the toxins. The root word for that in the Greek is katharos. Katharos means release. Katharos means let it go. Katharos means purify, to cleanse. How many Kathys do I have in here? Do I have any Kathys or Catherines in the house this morning? Not a one. Well, Kathy is a name that means pure, You know why? Because its root was in katharos, which means to cleanse, to purify, right? So if you're a Kathy, you're supposed to be pure, just so you know. If you're watching online, you're supposed to be pure, Kathy, right? So God designs things in patterns, right? In those patterns, the Trinity we see is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In us, we have body, soul, and spirit. So we have our own trinity of such going on inside of our body. It's a body, a soul, and a spirit. Now, what makes up the soul? You have another trinity there. You have mind, will, and emotions, another three things that make up your soul. If the body needs to be cleansed, doesn't it stand to reason that your soul also needs to be cleansed from time to time, right? Well, there's another word, like catheter, that has its roots in katharos, which is catharsis. Catharsis. Catharsis is a cleansing of the soul. Now, it doesn't matter how you do it. Some people are criers, and some people are very emotional, and some people cleanse the soul through crying and emotion and grief and getting loud. Some people will quietly weep and shed one or two tears, right? It doesn't matter how you do it, but it matters that you do it. Every one of us need a catharsis on occasion. And on more than one occasion, you need catharsis. But what happens is we don't purify what's going on inside of us. We don't take it before God and say, God, I'm being really toxic this week. God, I just can't stand anybody this week. God, I hate my coworkers. I don't even like to go to church because people get up all up on my space. And man, I just don't even like people today, right? And you're feeling that way, but you don't do anything about it. You don't go before God and God, something's wrong. I need a catharsis. I need you to cleanse me because I know that I'm called to love people. And if I'm not loving people this week, there's something toxic within my soul that needs to be cleansed out, right? So you recognize that you need a catharsis and you need to do it on a regular basis. Amen? So there's three roots of negativity, and I'm supposed to be closing, but I'm going to give you these quickly. There's three roots or spiritual roots of negativity that I'm going to be talking about, and then there's three ways that a spirit of negativity in your life can be conquered, all right? We're going to go to the first one. The first root of negativity is ungratefulness, simply being ungrateful, man. I've got a roof over my head. I've got a 1,500-square-foot house, but Lord, man, you see my heart, God. You know I want a 3,500-square-foot house. God, I've got a 15-foot bass boat. But God, you see my heart. You know I want a 30-foot offshore fish, right? God, I'm driving this Toyota, and it's 3 years old, and it's got 50,000 miles on. But God, I really want a Ferrari. You know, it's ungratefulness, right? What does ungratefulness do? Ungratefulness complains about what it doesn't have instead of appreciating what it does. There's been plenty of times in my life that I had to wait on God to bless me until I appreciated where I was. I had to appreciate what I had before God would continue to give me more, right? You have to be a good steward where you're at before God will bless you with more. Amen? So ungratefulness. The next one is this. Number two is selfishness. Selfishness is a root of negativity, man. Now, selfishness is harder, right? That's a little harder to deal with because we as a people come out of the womb selfish, right? We come out of the womb crying, feed me, change me, warm me, hold me, right? We come out of the womb like that. The problem is some of us never grow up. Some of y'all said to your wife this morning, clean me, feed me, hold me, rock me, right? Because we never grew up, man. That ain't your wife. That's your mother. Ooh, I'm going to get away from that. I opened up all kinds of worms there, didn't I? What does selfishness do? Selfishness believes its needs should be met first, their wants attended to quickly, and its preferences honored above others. Anybody come in this morning angry at somebody sat in your church seat? I'll leave that right there. The third one is this, insecurity. Insecurity. Insecurity is a root of a negative mindset. If you're insecure about who you are, you're going to look at everybody and everything else in a negative light. You've got to know who you are, and you got to be secure in who you are before you can ever help anybody else. You got to be secure knowing that, that you are God's, that you are loved, that he has you, that you are a child of the Most High King before you go try to minister to somebody else. You need to have security, because if you are riddled with insecurity and you go try to minister, you'll always be thinking in your mind if they're better than you or if you're better than them. Right, you'll always be comparing yourself to other ministers in your mind if you try to minister that way. If you try to pray in the prayer team that way, you'll always be comparing yourself to the other prayer team. Well, they pray harder than I do, and their people always fall out. My people never fall out. What in the world, man? Something's wrong with me, right? And you'll start comparing yourself, or you might be comparing yourself to the other greeters. Man, when she opens a door for somebody, it's like a ballet. Man, she's just like, da-da-da. And she opens the door, you know, and me, I'm like clumsy, and that hits my foot and my head, and I just open it, and then I hit them in the head, you know. But you're comparing yourself to other people, and it's rooted in insecurity, right? Insecurity builds itself up by tearing others down. Pointing out others' flaws make it feel more smart or superior. So these are three roots that are rooted in what I'm talking about today, which is a negative mindset. These are three roots that are rooted in it. So here are three ways to battle that spirit of negativity. I know I'm preaching this fast. If you want to go back and watch this later, it will be on YouTube. It'll be archived on YouTube for our 8:30 service. So if you want to go back and kind of get a slower and pause it and take notes, you can do that. But here are three ways to battle against a spirit of negativity. Number one, acknowledge that a critical spirit is sinful. Woo! This is key. See, some people say, I'm not out of the will of God, but I hate so-and-so. I'm not out of the will of God, but I can't believe so-and-so posted this on Facebook. I'm not out of the will of God, but I can't believe so-and-so wore this to church. Will of God reigns supreme in my life. But that last sermon Pastor Steve preached, that was horrible. I don't care how critical it is, right? A critical spirit is sinful. Ephesians 4:29 says this, "Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear." There's a key word in there, according to the need of the moment. You know when speaking grace becomes gossiping? When you move past the need of the moment and you're still talking about it. Woo! I know I'm late, but I'm going to say that one again. No, I'm not. I'm going to move. Watch it online. I'm going to have to go watch it so I can remember how I said it. Okay? Seeing our negativity through God's eyes allows us to apply the principle of John 1:9. What's John 1:9? If we confess our sin, he, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You've got to recognize that if you're carrying around a critical spirit and you're pointing at other people and you're constantly talking down about other people and you're constantly talking bad about other people, or it's always in your mind about somebody else, you recognize that is indeed a sin and you need to repent of that today. Right? Need to get it handled today. Need to deal with it today. Right where you're at, maybe today, or in the car driving home today. Right? Need to deal with it. You got to get rid of that critical spirit. You got to recognize that's a sin. Number two, the second way is you got to be thankful. Man, be thankful. We talked about ungratefulness. Be thankful. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of Christ." If you want to be in the will of God, be thankful for where you're at, regardless of the circumstances. Be thankful that you had something to eat today if you had something to eat. Be thankful that you had a car to drive today if you had a car to drive. Be thankful that you're sitting listening to this message in an air-conditioned, padded seat sanctuary with carpet and a nice atmosphere and a great band to lead you in worship and a worship leader who sings like an angel. Right? Because you could have been born in China, and you could be trying to serve God in China today in homes with the lights off, whispering like this because you're scared that the police are going to barge in and arrest you and torture you for the next 2 months. Because people in China get arrested and tortured for doing what we did this morning. Right? You could be there. Be thankful, man. Think about, I want you to do this. Before you leave here today, think about three things that you're thankful for. If you've got a critical spirit, think about three things that you need to be thankful for in your life and write them down or remember them or type them in your phone or text them to your wife, because your wife will keep you accountable. Right? She don't forget nothing. Right? Be thankful. Number three, you have to fight selfishness, man. You notice I didn't say, be thankful. Thank you, sir. You notice I didn't say, like be thankful or quit this. Selfishness is a fight. Why? Because you were born selfish, like I said. Selfishness is a fight. Philippians 2:4 says this, each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. That means it's okay to take care of yourself, but don't just take care of yourself. It's okay to love yourself. You're supposed to, but don't just love yourself. It's okay to take care of you, but don't go around saying numero uno only matters, right? You've got to look to the needs of other people because the Bible tells us to, right? And the last thing I have for you this morning, how do you accomplish all of that? How do you accomplish those three and accomplish them well and apply them to your life? Next one, Craig. Believe that you are valued and loved. When you fully grasp what God did for you, nothing else matters. When you fully grasp that Christ died on a cross for you, that guy that cut you off in traffic doesn't matter as much. When you fully grasp that because of what God did for you, you now have eternal life, and when you die, you get to go see heaven. Then when your kid gets a C- on the midterm, it's not going to matter as much. When you fully grasp it, then when your wife has a little attitude, it's not going to matter as much. When you fully grasp that this life is but a flash in the pan, that this life is just a minuscule moment in time compared to eternity, when you grasp that, then the things that this world has to offer won't mean a hill of beans to you. And you'll be happy. And you'll be thankful, and you'll be able to fight selfishness, and you'll be able to love people, and you'll be able to walk in here and smile regardless of who got your seat. Amen? That's right. Thank you, Lord. Everybody stand with me. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're in this place today, and the words I spoke rang true in your life, and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, but you want to, this is what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm not going to embarrass you. Everybody's got their head bowed, their eyes closed. I'm just going to ask you, just between me and you, lift a hand, hold it up for a couple seconds, and you can put it back down. I see that hand. I see that hand. I see those hands. I see those three. I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let me tell you something. Those of you that raised your hand, that was the best thing you've ever done. Because that made you part of a special club. But it's a special club that anybody can join. But you have to receive it. You have to accept it. And by raising your hand and by saying the prayer we're about to pray, you've acknowledged that Christ died for you, covers you in your sins, and everything from your past doesn't matter anymore. Anything you've ever done wrong doesn't matter anymore. Anything you've ever sinned against yourself, against other people, against God, God says from now on, it doesn't matter anymore. Pray this prayer. Everybody in the room, pray this prayer with me. Father, I thank you for giving me your son to die on a cross for my sins. I receive it. I believe it. I confess it. I ask you, Father, to go with me as I leave here. And I thank you, Father, in the mighty name of Christ. Amen. Give God a hand clap of praise for those this morning. Hallelujah. I'm going to pray a prayer of dismissal quickly, and you're dismissed, but God bless everybody. If you need prayer, we don't want to skip over it, but I do want to let everybody else get out of here since we're late. If you need prayer, just come to these altars, and we have a prayer team that'll pray with you. If you don't, God bless you. Have a great day. Nothing going on at the church tonight. Focus Track is already going. Focus Track starts next week at 9 a.m. If you need to sign up, it's in the lobby. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to serve you this morning. I pray over your people as they leave here, but Lord, that you would bless them, send your angels to watch over them, bless their households, surround their households, Lord. Help us today to acknowledge when we're critical, when we're negative, Lord, and help us to receive you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Hallelujah and amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.